Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here today. Thank you for being here. Last week, we saw how Jesus finished what was probably the best sermon ever given. And he said that faith and obedience actually go hand in hand. We cannot say that we trust Jesus if we argue with him about who knows what is right and who knows what is best. That would be like a child arguing with his parents about the health benefits of eating milkshakes and candy bars for every meal. And sometimes kids do that. Sometimes we do that as well. But Jesus said there is great wisdom in listening to and obeying his words, and there is great foolishness in disobeying his words. Today we're going to see a living example of what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount or the Sermon on the Plain. So let's jump right into that this morning by turning to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Today we're going to consider the characteristics of an amazing or astounding faith. The Bible says in Luke 7, 1, after he had finished all these sayings, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. And when the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent him to the elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed, for I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And turning to the crowd that followed, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for a new day to gather together as your people and to worship you and to consider your word. We thank you, Father God, for a faith, Lord, that is amazing and astounding and marveling to you. And I pray, Father God, that we would be found a people who have that type of faith, an amazing faith. And so, Lord, we pray today that you would speak to us in areas of doubt and areas of, Lord, faithlessness, and that you would show us, Father God, areas that we can believe and trust you in, Father God, for you to work. And we ask you this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. So after the sermon, Jesus entered the town Capernaum. Capernaum is where Peter lived. It was really the kind of the base of Jesus' ministry was centered out of there. And a centurion who was a Roman soldier had a servant who he cared about, and this servant was sick. Luke, again being the doctor, he tells us that not only was he sick, but he was actually sick to the point of death. And so he was very sick. This wasn't just a cold that he was going to get over. This was something very serious. And so the centurion had heard about Jesus. Remember, Jesus has been there preaching. He's been in the synagogue several times. He's been out in the countryside. He's healed people. He's been doing all these things, preaching and teaching. And now he's given this Sermon on the Mount or Sermon on the Plain. And so this centurion had heard about him. And so he sent some of the Jewish elders to Jesus asking him to come and heal his servant. The Jewish elders, they found Jesus, and they actually begged him to help the centurion, because the centurion loved the Jews and that he had built their synagogue. They didn't say he helped them build it, but he actually built it. And so Jesus goes with them, and And the centurion sent another group of friends out to meet Jesus with a special message for him before he arrived there. They intercepted him. And the message was that he wanted to acknowledge the importance of Jesus and show humility of himself. And he did this by admitting that he was unworthy, even have Jesus come into his own home. And so when the centurion acknowledged Jesus' authority and his power to heal, and he did so by saying, all you have to do is to speak the word. This response amazed Jesus. Jesus was like, what a phenomenal response coming from a Roman who was a Gentile. He wasn't even in the household of faith. He was normally set at odds with them. So he turns to everyone around him and he commends the faith of this soldier even above the faith of the Jews. And so the centurion's servants return home and they find him well. That's what happened. But this story is an illustration of what Jesus has just been teaching on the Sermon on the Mount or the Plain. In this one man, we see some very bizarre characteristics, things that make us wonder what's going on, what does all this mean? And first, there's two things I want to point out. First is that, and this is kind of under the surface, but I believe this is important to understanding what's going on here, especially as it relates to us. And that's this idea of an outpost. You see, the Romans were famous for these outposts. They had outposts, military outposts, that they would set up in different towns that would help them rule and lead and govern the territories that they were conquering. They were one of the greatest empires ever on the earth. And so as they would leave Rome, and if you can picture the map and know where Rome is, and they would spread out, and as they would conquer people, they would set up outposts. And these were military outposts, and there they would have these fortresses or these outposts that they would use to have soldiers at, and they would help govern the affairs. They would help work those sort of things out. If you think about Jesus and what was going on during his crucifixion in Jerusalem, there was times where he was with the high priest Caiaphas, and then there was other times where he was with Herod and those sorts of things. And so there is a working together with the Romans to reach and subdue and to rule these territories. The outpost was the key in their ability to conquer and to govern such a vast area out and about away from Rome. Similarly, you have the synagogue. The synagogue was actually an outpost of the temple and of the Jewish system. And so the synagogue was where people who were in dispersion, people who were away from Jerusalem, they could actually go and worship. It was an outpost. They could go and hear the word taught. They could receive instruction. They could participate in the activities of worship. They weren't offering sacrifices in the synagogue, but it was an outpost of the Jewish temple. And so that's what's going on. There's this idea of outpost. And the synagogue helped the Jewish leaders lead, teach, and manage their followers who were far away from the temple in Jerusalem. They didn't have access to that. So this was a place where people would actually go for instruction and training and those who were far off. And it helped the Jews minister to their people who were a long ways away. And we need to understand that. That's important to that understanding. And then there's this new thing that Jesus is going to establish. There's this new thing that he's talking about, this kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven. And we know today of the church. We call the church is a part of that. But I think this is an important part of the story and the purpose of the church. The kingdom of heaven is the capital city. The Bible talks about a city where God will be, a city that is his and where he is, where his throne is. And right now, as the church, we live far away from that city. Now he's with us in his spirit. He's with us in His Spirit, and He helps us, and He guides us. He's with us through His Word, and He's with us through the body, the church, that is one another. But we live far away from that city. And so Jesus now is going to establish His church, His outpost that will represent His kingdom until such a time as the whole earth is conquered. And we need to understand that. So there's these layers here that we'll see. There's the Roman outpost. There is the synagogue, which is the temple's outpost or the Jewish system's outpost. And then what Jesus is establishing here is something new. And again, we will know that as the church. This outpost, this thing called the church, will be leading advances into enemy territories. It will be expanding the kingdom of God. The outpost will be places where the soldiers can come and receive instruction and orders and rest and healing. It is an outpost. And the outpost will be a place that teaches new citizens how to live according to the ways of the kingdom and the king. We understand that today. We are an outpost. Our church, we're an outpost. We're an outpost of the kingdom of God. The Bible says that our citizenship is not here. We are citizens of heaven living in a strange land. And we've talked about that before. And so we understand that we are an outpost. So the idea of outpost is a part of this passage. The second significant idea, and this is where we'll camp out, is about the faith of the centurion. The faith of this centurion, what kind of faith is it that Jesus would commend? I want that kind of faith, don't you? I mean, that's the kind of belief and faith that I want, that where when I'm living my life and I'm putting my faith and my trust in Jesus and His words, that He would actually commend that. We think about, you know, standing before Him one day and hearing Him say the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We want to hear Him say those words. And so what kind of faith is it that He would commend? And we see some characteristics of this faith that would cause Jesus to marvel or to be amazed. Verse 9 says, "When Jesus heard these things, He marveled at Him, and turning to the crowd that followed, said, 'I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith.'" Now this word marveled or amazed, however it's translated in your Bible, is only used in two places in the Bible. One is here in Luke, in the New Testament. One is here in Luke, and included in that one in Luke is also Matthew's version of the same story. And so that would be the one time. But it's also found in Mark 6:6, and Jesus marveled at the lack of faith of those who lived in Nazareth, which was His hometown. And so He was marveled at the great faith of the centurion, the Roman, the Gentile, and He marveled at the lack of faith of those who lived in His own hometown. And again, familiarity breeds contempt, and that was the case with Jesus in Nazareth. So what are the characteristics of a faith that make Jesus marvel? One of those characteristics would be that we see right away is that it was not a prejudiced faith. The faith was not a prejudiced faith. The centurion had a servant who was sick. And we don't know the nationality of his servant. We don't know. We could assume that the servant was taken from one of the lands that was conquered. He certainly would not have been a Roman citizen. But nonetheless, he had a servant who was sick. And verse 2 tells us that he was a highly valued servant. And it was very important to him, the servant. Now, we may be tempted to think, well, maybe the servant was important to him because of what he could do for the centurion. Maybe he was a hard worker or such things like that. But surely there were other hard workers to find. I mean, the Romans could go and take someone and put them in servitude if they wanted. And so this man, I believe the Roman had actual concern. He actually loved and valued this guy. He showed concern. And it was much deeper than just because he was a hard worker. And then in verse 3, we see that the centurion had actually heard about Jesus, and he wanted his servant healed. He wanted his servant healed. I mean, people get sick all the time, especially during that day and age. They didn't have hospitals that people could go to like we do today and the advances of modern medicine. People would get sick and die, and that was part of it. But he heard about this guy named Jesus who was walking all over the Galilean countryside, going in and out of the synagogue, healing people and teaching, a miraculous teaching that had authority. And he wanted this man to come and heal his servant. And verse 4 says that he sent someone and they pleaded earnestly on behalf of the centurion, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him." Now, if you think about who's doing the pleading here, these are the Jewish elders. These people, these elders, would not have been very fond of the Romans. The Romans were occupiers. The Romans were one who come over and took their land and subjected them to Roman rule, to the Roman language, to Roman rules and things such as that. And so here it's very unusual that you would have the Jewish elders pleading on behalf of a centurion. And what could make him worthy of such a request in the eyes of the Jews? What could do that? And verse 5 tells us he loved the Jewish nation. This man was not one who was prejudiced against those who he was around. He had a love for them. He loved the nation. And it's a very odd thing to see a Roman soldier described with such flattering words by the Jews. It's a very odd thing. And it's key to us understanding this. It was unusual for Jewish leaders to be fond of the Roman soldiers. Everyone would have felt the awkwardness of the situation. Why is it that these Jewish elders are here pleading on behalf of a Roman? So the elders added that this Roman soldier, this centurion, had actually built their synagogue for them. Not only did he love them, he built the synagogue. I've actually been to that synagogue. The ruins are still there. It's a pretty impressive place considering the surroundings. And the ruins are still standing. Still pieces of it there. So they didn't just slap it together. They built it. And they built it right. And you think this a centurion, this level of soldier, he probably had around 100 people, 100 soldiers under him. And so no doubt, if they're saying he built it, he certainly didn't build it single-handedly. He would have had his soldiers help him do this to build the synagogue. This was a man who was out of the ordinary. He had crossed social barriers. He had crossed racial barriers. He had crossed religious barriers, ethnic barriers, and his dealings with the everyday people. And this is a characteristic of faith, especially if we're going to be in an outpost representing a kingdom, the kingdom of God, especially when the purpose of the kingdom of God is to reach the peoples. And I think about us. I think about our church. I think about the church. Are we a people who are prejudiced? Are we prejudiced against those in our society? Here is a faith that people took notice of. This man had characteristics in his life of faithfulness where he could actually love other people and do nice things for them and demonstrate his love and concern about them. He crossed this. How effective are you at loving people who are outside your social barriers? That's a question we all have to ask. You know, the Lord put us here to reach those people. We are the outpost of His kingdom, a kingdom that is to be making disciples of new people. And if He's put us here, then we have to assume He wants us to reach these people who are around us. At a minimum, these people who are here. But oftentimes what we do is we tend to think ourselves maybe better than those people around us. We tend to think of ourselves as more sophisticated or better behaved and those sorts of things. And it causes us to be somewhat judgmental of other people. Jesus had just preached the message about those very things. And His message is that in His kingdom, things are going to be different. And if we're going to be people of His kingdom and in His outpost and representing Him and that kingdom, then our faith should look radically different. Our lives should look radically different. For the Christian, absolutely everyone in the world is in a different and outside community than the church. We need to understand that. For the Christian, absolutely everyone in this world is outside of our community and our social barrier and our church. But we've been put here for the express purpose of reaching them and to bringing them in so that they too can be worshipers of God. If we have prejudices towards people who are different than us, we're going to have a hard time reaching them because we're going to think ourselves better for some way. It's our job to reach people for the kingdom. We see this sort of thing in a lot of churches. People are just prejudiced. It could be because of color. It could be because of someone's financial status. It could be because of their social standing or because of their poor behavior. But prejudice does exist. Prejudice exists. Everybody wants to reach lost people until they actually start showing up. And then there's issues. You can talk to churches all over our land of various sizes, of just a handful of people to thousands of people. Many of them want to reach people until those people start showing up. Everyone wants the church to grow and see people saved as long as it grows with people just like them. Everyone's opinion matters until their opinions differ with our own opinions. And then all of a sudden they don't start mattering anymore. And we need to understand that this is something that bubbles up within us. So Jesus commends this. The first characteristic of faith that makes Jesus marvel is that it is not prejudiced. But secondly, it is active in the work of God. The soldier had to have been a very unique man as a Roman soldier. Normally the Jewish elders would have been at odds, but that was not the case. Here we find this man who not only invested his own time, his own reputation, but also his energy and no doubt his resources. If he was one to be said who built the temple, he was involved, actively involved in the work of God. The synagogue is what God was using to minister to people who were out and about far away from Jerusalem in the dispersion, those who had been scattered out all over the land. The synagogue was very important. And it was important not only because the Jews could come there, but anyone could come there. Anyone could come there and listen and to the teaching and preaching. And this man was active in the work of God. And we need to understand that is a faith. Faith produces, real, true, genuine faith produces actions on the parts of those who have that faith. And this man was active in that. He used his soldiers, he used his resources and his manpower in the building this place of worship. It was him who was responsible. Just like he was helping Caesar spread the Roman Empire, in a more significant role, he was helping God spread the message of the kingdom. And we understand this too because Jesus would actually use the synagogues. When Jesus went into the synagogues, and not only did Jesus use the synagogues, but remember, Paul used the synagogues. When Paul would go to a new town, he would go to the synagogue first, and he would start teaching there. And then he would find folks who would follow or not follow there, and then he would go out and teach to the others. Today, it's through the local church that God's spreading His message of the kingdom to the world. And God wants our faith to be a faith that is active in that, a faith that produces something within us, produces something that benefits His kingdom. If our faith is without works, He said, it's dead. And we've just seen him preach on that very thing as well. Are you active in his church and his kingdom? The third characteristic of this amazing faith is that it actually produced humility, not pride. Oftentimes, people of God are found to be the most prideful at all. One teacher said that this passage reveals two essential components of the Christian faith. It's a complete and honest understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And because of that understanding, we have an honest understanding of who we are. Christ is the King, and we are under His authority. Verses 6 and 7 says, when Jesus was not far from the house of the centurion, sent people to him saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am unworthy to have you enter my house. The centurion could have actually demanded, could have sent people to drug Jesus to him, and demanded that he come. But he recognized that he was humble man in the sight of Jesus. That's great faith. A perverted faith is a faith that produces pride and arrogance and an unwillingness to show humility and the light of God in the light of His Word. We fall into this trap. We think sometimes that maybe God owes us something. But we have no authority if we are not under authority. And we need to understand that. That's what this man said. He says, I understand authority. I understand. I am under authority, and I have authority. The authority that he had was given to him by Rome. And so he knew what it meant to follow those orders. He knew what it meant to be obedient. And then he knew what it meant to ask others to do things for him. He understood that. And what he did in this acknowledgement is he identified that because he was under authority and he had authority, and then he said, I too am like that. So he's saying Jesus. He recognized Jesus as one who had authority but yet was under authority. And Jesus' message is that he come from the Father. And his authority was the authority given to him by the Father. We understand that now on this side. This centurion somehow understood that then. And this is the faith that Jesus recognized. And then the last characteristic that we should point out from this episode is that this kind of faith, an amazing faith, actually trusts in God's Word. Trust in His Word. And that's what Jesus had just got done saying when he talked about building His house on the rock. Whoever listens to My words and obeys them. And this man said, if you would only speak the Word. See, the Jewish people, they were asking for a sign. Do something miraculous. Show us. Do another healing. Do something wonderful. But this man said, just speak the Word. And I know that My servant will be healed. He trusted in the Word of God. He trusted in the words of Jesus. I wonder if we trust the Word of God like that today. I wonder if we trust the words of Christ like that. Jesus has the power of life and death in His Word. We're told that the Word of God actually is the Word of Christ, that He is the Word made flesh and manifest among us in John 1:14. We don't know if the centurion ever personally heard Jesus speak before this or not, but what we do know is that he had heard of Him. Jesus actually commends that kind of faith when He's talking to Thomas. And Thomas is like, unless I touch His hands and put My hand in His side, I won't believe. And Jesus shows up and says, here I am. And he says, My Lord and My God. And Jesus says, blessed are you. You believe because you've seen, but more blessed are those who have believed and have not seen. Believe but have only heard. And that is the type of situation we have here with this centurion. Jesus has set us as an outpost of His kingdom. He set us as ambassadors. He calls us ambassadors. We are ambassadors of His kingdom, imploring others to come to Him, imploring others to be reconciled to God. He has called us to faithfulness in His Word or to His Word. He's called us to be strong for Him. And we do that by believing His Word and what He's told us to do. So today, maybe you're here and you recognize there's some prejudices in your own life. It could be because of financial reasons. It could be just because of the way people look. People look different today. People look different. I was at a restaurant yesterday. I stood out because I didn't have any jewelry or piercings in my face or tattoos on my body that they could see. I don't have any that you can't see either, but they didn't know that. I mean, they might say, well, he's got one under his shirt. And this is here in LaGrange. I was the one who stood out. Are we going to be prejudiced? That is the world God has placed us in. And this world is changing. And He's called us to be faithful to Him as an outpost of the kingdom, sharing His love with others so that they too may come in and be forgiven. Be reconciled to Him. Maybe there's prejudices you need to just get over. Hanging on to them isn't going to change anything. Maybe there's some of us who need to be more active in the work of God and join Him with your time, your energy, your money, your manpower, those sorts of things. God is doing something through our church. He's reaching people, men, women, boys and girls. And maybe today, I need to be involved. I need to be involved in what God is doing. This is the outpost of the kingdom. I say that I'm His citizen. I am one of His. And so I need to be involved. God may be calling you to get involved. For some of you, it may look like being joining the church and getting involved in that way. For some of you, your next step may be getting plugged into a ministry and serving other people in the body in some way. You know what God is calling you to do. But He's calling us all to serving humility. To serving humility. We may have authority, but we're always under authority. And that's under the authority of God and His word. Let's pray.